like to make it stronger? What traits make marriages survive and become successful? Join us today as I interview Reverend Roger Sonnenberg. Our topic is Building Strong Marriages. This is Kay Meyer, President of Family Shield Ministries, and your host for today's program. Reverend Sonnenberg is pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Arcadia, California, and he is chairman of Family Shield Ministries. I thought it would be a good time during Valentine's Day to talk about marriage and try to be positive in our approach. Pastor Sonnenberg, Time Magazine recently had an article about marriage. What did that say?
Well, Time Magazine, the lead article was about marriage and how it was being debated whether or not it was essential or necessary anymore, or whether or not we have people today in our society who believe it's necessary, especially considering a whole number of factors such as living together without marriage. Basically, there seems to be more satisfaction in living as a single person. And there's a whole debate on whether or not marriage is useful anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, certainly as a Christian, we would say that God has given us the wonderful gift of marriage and has given some parameters for that gift, and certainly feels strongly about marriage.
Yeah. What is the purpose of marriage?
Well, Scripture is clear that it certainly gives us, number one, companionship. Secondly, it is to keep from gross sexual mistakes as well as procreation. We, needless to say, are people who have been given the gift of sex and sexuality, and one of the great gifts that he placed within us was the ability to reproduce, and he wants that reproduction to take place in the state of marriage.
All right. Well, let's talk about four aspects of a healthy relationship.
Actually, that concept of a healthy relationship and regarding the aspects that make it a healthy relationship come from Balzwick's in a book entitled The Family. Balzwick's are professors out of Fuller Seminary in Pasadena, California. And they say that really relationships need to look like a relationship that God has with us. And God has a relationship that consists of four elements with mankind. One, he is committed to us. I mean, read Scripture. It is filled with wonderful stuff about how committed he was to his people. Old Testament all the way through the New Testament, think about the commitment he had for his people so much that he was willing to send his son Jesus to die for them. Secondly, he said that God's relationship with us is filled with grace. And it is, needless to say, what we as Christians celebrate every day of our lives, grace, forgiveness, his love. I mean, we could not have a commitment with God without grace, because it is grace that places us back into relationship with God. It is the grace that Jesus Christ provided through his life, death, and resurrection. The third element is that of empowerment. And what he says empowerment is helping the other person become everything he or she can possibly be. Meaning we want the person to be everything that God wants him to be. And we attempt to do that. It is not a control issue when one marries. It's not to control the other person. It is to help the other person become, again, what God wants the other person to become. God wants us to become special. God makes that possible through the means of grace, word, and sacrament. And that's why we go to church and why we read the word and why we participate in the means of grace, again, word and sacrament. The fourth aspect of a healthy relationship and what God reflects and what God shows us is intimacy. He speaks to us and we speak to him. Every time we hear the word, he's speaking to us. Every time we pray, we speak to him. And just as important as it is to have that intimacy, that characteristic of intimacy, and why it's how it's spoken of in Scripture over and over in regards to God's relationship with man, so we, in relationships with one another, need to have intimacy, good communication. We know that's essential.
Wow.
So it's, again, those four things that we recognize are important for a very successful and happy marriage. The same thing that makes a good relationship between God and man: commitment, grace, empowerment, and intimacy.
Awesome, awesome. Well, in today's world, some marriages survive for years and they're not happy. Some marriages survive for years and they are happy. In today's world, it seems like so many of the young people that get married already begin by saying, well, if it doesn't work out, that's okay. And the commitment is the first part of that. We are committed to this marriage and we're going to work at it. Because we are sinners, because that's part of our nature, we don't always act like we should with our spouse. In fact, sometimes we say we are at our worst in our homes. How do we deal with sin in our homes and with our spouse?
Yeah, I want to go back to just what you said earlier, though, in regards to what many young people are doing in relationships. They're saying, if it works, and that's why we have such a high percentage of people living together before they're married, which is dangerous if you think about it. And we know it's against God's perspective, but it also is proven out statistically. And the statistics tell us that the rate of divorce for those who live together and then marry is 50% higher. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why.
50% higher, huh?
Well, the reason why, of course, is because they come into that kind of relationship saying, if it works, we're going to stay together. If you match the things that I've placed out for you to be, then you're going to be with me for the rest of my life. If not, so you carry that thinking into marriage, and thus you can understand why many marriages or more marriages fail with that kind of concept. Than those who marry and say, you know, it's not going to be all pleasant, and there are going to be some difficult times, and it's part of what the world is all about. We live in a sinful world. We ourselves are sinful, and we can't expect perfection that belongs alone to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're not going to expect it. We're going to work through our difficulties, and we're going to make it happen with His help. And you know, God doesn't ask us. God doesn't give us this whole idea of marriage and then not give us some help. I think it's, we sort of get the idea that God is sort of abandons people. He gives out all these things that He wants us to do, and then He kind of sits up there and says, well, good luck. No, one of the most wonderful things that we discover in Scripture is He says that we have been resurrected to new possibilities, and we have been resurrected through holy baptism, and we have been empowered. That word again that I talked about earlier, we are empowered through the power of the Spirit of God who works through us and through the word and sacrament that works in us.
Yeah, that's great. Well, all right, now let's talk to some of our listeners. Let's address a couple. Let's say they've been married 12 years and they are having some problems. Maybe the wife has gone back to work after staying home for some years, and they're just not feeling as much in love as they used to, and it's causing some problems in the marriage. You counsel people regularly, Roger. I'm sure this life change happens at times where someone that's been at home taking care of the children is now working. So what do you say to a couple that has had this marriage going fairly well with young children for these years, and now all of a sudden they've hit some bumps in the road? What do you advise them, and what do you share with them?
Well, certainly relationships are going to change along the way. Relationships grow. And in every life experience, as we change, as we perhaps go back to work after being away from the workplace, because we stayed at home as a stay-at-home mom or whatever, what have you, we understand that those things bring some changes, but we work through those changes. We talk about them. We communicate with one another about them. We ask, what are the challenges and what can we do to make sure that this isn't going to hurt our relationship? I love what Scripture says. You know, there are people okay who say they have fallen out of love. Mm-hmm. And there's this wonderful section of Scripture in the book of Revelation that says, if one has fallen out of love, and there are many who say that, then do the following. Remember, writes the writer of Revelation, remember what it was like. Secondly, repent. And thirdly, do it again, meaning that you can fall back in love. Mm-hmm. But you have to remember again what it was like. Repent of those things that you have done, you're responsible for, that have perhaps hurt your relationship with one another. But then do again. And if we do again, then God gives us a promise there. He's talking to the church of Ephesus there. He's saying, you know, you can fall back in love with me, and we can fall back in love with one another as well, using that formula. The world has it all mixed up. The world says that feelings sort of precede everything. In other words, if you feel a certain way, then you're in love. That's really not what God says. God says you do certain things, you make a commitment, and you live out that Christian life as he has given us in his word, and then you will feel a certain way. Again, the world puts feelings first, which makes for some, I think, thinking that is wrong.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you mentioned those four words again: commitment, grace, empowerment, and intimacy. The grace of God and bringing that grace into the family can certainly help a couple renew their commitment and find that love again.
It's the secret. Okay, it's absolutely the secret. That's why Christians have such an advantage. We understand about repentance, mm-hmm. and we understand about absolution. We understand about God who loved us enough to die for us, a God who gives us daily forgiveness. Because we experience that forgiveness, because he pours that forgiveness into us, we can forgive one another. Mm-hmm. We aren't capable on our own. Like St. Paul, we say, I know what I'm supposed to do. I can't do it. Thanks be to God who gives me the power to do so through Jesus Christ. That's the advantage. You see, we don't have to continue to make blame toward others, toward a spouse. We can accept responsibility. We can even receive his or her repentance and forgive them. Again, not because we're able to on our own, but because we know his forgiveness, God's forgiveness.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking, too, of the word empowerment in the story that I just shared, you know, with the wife going back to work, that the husband would want her to have a successful career and would help her. But it, as you said, changes do happen at different times and stages in our life, different times when maybe the mom goes back to work, when the children leave the home. There is just different ages and stages of our life where things change and we grow. And many times couples that have grown, my mom and dad were married over 50 years before my mother passed away. I think they were married 57 years. And my husband's mom and dad were married over 40 years before his mom died. So we came from a long line of some long marriages. My husband and I now have been married 43 years. Roger, how long have you been? How long? Thank you. How long have you been married?
32 years. We were married on Epiphany, January 6th.
But everything hasn't been rosy with my husband or I. My husband was in Vietnam when we were first married, and boy, when he came back, it was rocky. And we will both admit that. But as we have grown older together, we've grown closer together, and I've seen that with a lot of couples that, you know, maybe at different times they have had some rocky times, but they kept believing in the commitment to marriage and the grace that God gives them, and that God married them and wanted them to stay together. And so it's just really important. So we're not trying to say that our marriages are perfect, because we're all sinners and we don't do everything right all the time on either side. Roger and I don't know Roger's wife that well, but I know that we just all, we fail. And we know that the Lord Jesus is there with us to help us. But I think the most important thing we can learn to do in our homes is to say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me?
And to say then, you're forgiven.
Yes.
By the grace of God, you know, that's the secret. And we have a new challenge in our home because we have a mother-in-law who has now moved in with us.
Oh, that's right.
A mother-in-law who lost her husband. And actually, I have had to, and we together have gone through difficult last few years where she, an only child, has had to care in Washington for a father who was very ill, who now died and is in heaven. But she was away from us, for my son and I, for about 4 or 5 months each year for the last 2 years. And it was a necessity, and it was a new challenge, but we accepted that challenge, and we grew together because of it. Now she lives with us. The mother-in-law lives with us. But it's a new challenge.
Yeah, I bet. And there is never a time in our life where there isn't some challenge. You know, young couples say, oh, our children, and there's so many activities, and it's so hard. And then they get to be teenagers. And then some couples never have children.
Yeah.
And that's just another issue. But it's important that we continue to strive to strengthen our marriages. Because statistically, raising children with a mother and father is good. It doesn't mean that it always happens. Sometimes divorce does occur. But do you, Roger, know any of those statistics related to moms and dads together versus single moms or single dads?
Yeah, not off the top of my head, but I do know that certainly it's God's plan that if all possible, He wants a father and a mother to be raising the child, and it certainly makes parenting easier. I can share with you, we have a son who's 23, is a good young man. We thank God for him every day. But I know I could not have done it, or if I would have had to have done it by myself, it would have been very difficult. So I always appreciate the fact that I have a spouse who helps, but I also have greater admiration for those single moms and those single dads who are doing it all on their own.
That's
because
hard.
It's certainly even a greater challenge. I don't think as a church sometimes we recognize that challenge.
Yeah. You know, it dawned on me as we're talking about marriage, and I don't know if you have found this, but when my husband and I were early married, we were very different in our personalities, and that used to really frustrate me. And then as we grew older, I realized that his strengths are my weaknesses, and my strengths are his weaknesses, and that God puts people together often that are very different. And if you begin to understand that, instead of getting frustrated with the differences, that sometimes God puts you together for a purpose, and now to see that this is a strength of our marriage, that we are not the same in our personalities.
I love what you've just said, because it's absolutely, I think that's, someday I can hardly wait to talk to God about this, because my wife and I are really different in many ways, but we couldn't be more in love with one another. But I find it kind of humorous sometimes when he puts people together and we don't even realize it at first, even though we dated a long time before we got married. But he puts us together. We're so different, but how those differences are to be celebrated, and how I celebrate them now as I think about what a difference it made in our marriage and the raising of our child in so many different respects.
Today, Family Shield is giving away the booklet, Live the Six, Being an Everyday Missionary. To request a complimentary copy, call the Family Shield Response Center 1-877-250-8416 or email us at witness2family@gmail.com. Please make sure you give us your complete name and address when you call or write. The Family Shield radio program airs on more than 50 radio stations each week throughout the United States, and is also available through our podcast. We are a listener-supported ministry. We invite your prayers and support. If you'd like to support us, send a gift to Family Shield Ministries, P.O. Box 230015, St. Louis, Missouri 63123. You can also donate on our website at www.familyshield.org. FamilyShieldMinistries.com. I want to go back to my discussion with Reverend Roger Sonnenberg. You mentioned love, Pastor Sonnenberg, and I know a while back I interviewed Dr. Gary Chapman on his book, The Five Love Languages, and how important love is. I'm not going to ask you what those five love languages are, because I never remember them either when I bring that up, but how important it is that our spouses know that we love them, and that, I just love the concept of Dr. Chapman's book, that people receive and give love in different ways.
I think it's something we don't always recognize.
No, we don't.
And we sometimes will say about our spouse, or children will say about us as parents, well, they don't really love me, or he doesn't really love me, when in reality, what is happening is that he or she is speaking a different love language. Chapman, in his book, The Five Love Languages, I use it always in counseling. It's the very first thing I do. When people come in for counseling, I'll say, let's just get something going in this marriage that will immediately help you. And people who are having difficulty, and I always give them the five love language test, and I say, let's discover what your love language is, and then let's, the next week, practice giving that love to our spouse. And he speaks of five love languages. He talks about affirmation. He talks about time together. He talks about gift giving. He talks about acts of service. And last of all, he says a love language is that of physical touch. And he says that basically everyone has one or more of those love languages, and that we fill our emotional love tank, or our emotional love tank is filled when another person gives us that love language. So if your gift is that of affirmation, your husband's gift is that of physical touch, needless to say, you have two different love languages. It is important that you recognize what those love languages are, and it is important that you try to fulfill and try to share that love language with your spouse. And it is something you can do. You know, again, he doesn't just put that out for us. God doesn't say there are these love languages and then not offer us some help. He offers us some help. We can offer them, even if it isn't our love language.
Mm-hmm. I learned that my love language, I think, is gifts of service. And I just always love that my husband goes out every morning and gets me my newspaper. Mm. And this morning he forgot to do this. He always goes, and he leaves at 6:45 in the morning, so it's not like he can sleep in. He always, and when it's cold, he always makes sure my car is cleaned off, but he didn't think I was going anywhere this morning, and I got out there in the cold and the ice, and I thought, oh, and then I thought, I should just thank God for him that he gives those acts of service to me, and that is such a simple thing. Some people, it wouldn't make any difference in the world, but again, this, how do you show and how do you receive love? It's important that we feel that our spouse cares about us.
Absolutely. It's interesting because mine is acts of service as well.
Oh, is so it really?
Do something for me and I'll feel loved. My wife's my wife's love language is that of time. Oh. So being a pastor, I know that I neglect sometimes giving her the time she needs, and I can always tell when that's being tested. Mm-hmm. And I'm not giving her the time. So recognizing the other person's love language can make a tremendous difference. I've had people actually who have used this study and they've really put it into practice. They say it has changed their marriage more than years of counseling.
Is that amazing?
Yes.
I found it amazing too. We did the program with Dr. Chapman on marriage, and then we did the five love languages of children.
Yes.
And both, I mean, to know for sure that you're loved. How many children have grown up in the same family, and when they get grown, they say, well, I don't think my parents love me. And the other children know their parents love them. I think it's that the parents weren't using the right love language.
Well, you know what's so wonderful about our God is he gives all the love languages. You know, he's the master
yes.
of all
I mean,
of them.
If you look at scripture, they're all there.
They're all there, and he knew how to give the love language that was necessary. This great masterful lover, the one who loves us enough to die for us. I mean, think about it. It's marvelous. And the fact that he's made us all different in what our love language might be, it makes it for a more interesting world. It's not like we're all, you know, General Motors cars off the assembly line, you
know? Yes, we're very different, yes. We're all very unique and very different. And that's a blessing from God.
Amen.
But we also, I think understanding love languages will also help us relate to people at work and people in our church. Because everybody's different. Not that we have to love them all in a real demonstrative way, but just understanding personalities and differences is important. We have about a minute left, Roger. Any other thoughts on marriage?
Well, marriage is such a wonderful, wonderful institution. And I must tell you, it is one of the institutions I give God thanks for. I thank God for my wife. And I must tell you, it is a wonderful gift, a gift that when we do it by the book and when we try to follow what God says regarding this gift, it truly is a blessing.
It is. It is. Well, I want to thank our guest again, Roger Sonnenberg from Arcadia, California. His church is Our Savior Lutheran Church, and he is chairman of Family Shield, very committed to touch individuals and their families with the gospel, and we thank him for being a part of today's program. We are a listener-supported radio program. Your prayers and financial support allow us to continue to air this radio program. We want to hear from our listeners, and we encourage you to write and let us know if you're enjoying the program. You can reach us through our website, which is www.familyshieldministries.com, or you can write us at Family Shield Ministries, P.O. Box 230015, St. Louis, Missouri, 63123. I also want to let our listeners know that you can sign up to receive our email newsletter. That is, it goes out a couple times a month. It will let you know what topics are coming up, if there are any special events. We like to promote other ministries' events around the country and share resources that are available to help equip Christians to share their faith with their family members and friends and co-workers.
You've been listening to Family Shield, a production of Family Shield Ministries. Its mission is to educate and equip people through the power of the gospel to know Christ, grow in His Word, and to strengthen individuals and their families. To learn how you can obtain resources or support the ministry, go to www.familyshieldministries.com or write Family Shield Ministries, P.O. Box 230015, St. Louis, Missouri 63123. And tune in again next week for Family Shield.